There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast. On the left.
From your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
I've got a fox hairs in my teeth.
Gotta get them out of there. Welcome to the last podcast on the left.
I paint my wife's face with berry juice.
That's Marcus Parks. I'm Ben Kissel.
Starring Tom Bosley as the voice of David the Gnome.
I'm Tom Bosley.
With us, Tom Bosley, Henry Zebrowski.
I'm 2 feet tall. I'm barely larger than my children. I've got acorns for shoes.
Interesting.
Oh, a corn niblet is too big for me to carry home.
How is the comfort on an acorn shoe? Does that make you feel good?
I lined it with a rabbit's fur.
Oh, that's not bad.
Ah, the wonderful world of gnomes.
Kind of avoid the bunion situation.
I wrap myself in leaves, and I use a little hollowed out raspberry as a toilet.
Ladies and gentlemen, we
take my tiny little gnome dookies into a hollowed out raspberry.
You poop into a raspberry.
Whatever's cutest.
Well, I would assume that's probably the cutest toilet I could ever think about.
No!
Think of a raspberry. Gnomes. We've been a little sick, a little twisted lately, so we decided to lighten the mood up before we hit October, because October is going to be an intense month. So today we're going to discuss the wild and wonderful world of gnomes.
Gnomes, the Hildefolk.
That's
Thank you,
right.
Ragnar. I'm going to put that out to Ragnar. I'm sorry if I mispronounce anything involving Iceland, because I don't want you to send your fucking hordes after me. I don't know how your people work.
We're an aggressive, violent bunch, the Icelandic individuals.
Yes, but the Hildefolk, otherwise known as the hidden people, that we see all over the wider parts of Europe.
Yeah, it's more of a Caucasian phenomenon.
It seems to be, because it seems like people from Africa, or, I mean, except Argentina's got a big gnome population.
Okay.
We've seen several videos that show gnomes are wandering the streets of Argentina.
Oh, that happens, yeah.
Which, I think it's just deformed people that they're making fun of.
It could be. It probably started with, just
but it
a nice...
seems that white people just have the imagination.
Is that what it is?
To see gnomes.
Maybe it's the free time, because we haven't actually worked hard in 300 years.
When you have a league of browner people all hoeing rice for you, and you look out, you'd be amazed how many gnomes you see.
Yeah.
You're walking around a nice, quiet neighborhood. Mm. It's a beautiful spring early evening, there's many picturesque gardens along the street, when suddenly you notice a strange little figure with a bright red hat and bushy beard.
Come here, you fuck.
That's a very rude gnome, Pamela.
Come here. Show me your ass, you fuck.
I think we're in the bad part of Gnome Town.
It's staring out at you through the bushes. What is it?
Come on, yeah, you want to see? I see my foot long gnome dick.
I thought they were supposed to be cute and nice. That gnome is master.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my pointy hand and shove it around your fucking ass. You're walking around acting like you're all tall.
This isn't
and
as magical.
Buzzing.
This is not as magical as I thought it was gonna be.
Yeah, I got my dick stuck in a fox's ass early this morning.
No, you did.
Yeah, I do whatever the fuck I want. My name's Terry.
Oh, all
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I'm the badass gnome in the fucking. Oh, look at this. Beautiful corn.
All right, Terry.
Oh, I'm happy all of a sudden. I can't believe how thick these squash are today. I guess I could go ahead and shove it up my ass.
Well, you were being pleasant for a moment, but then you mentioned the squash up your ass.
I was very much enjoying pleasant, Terry.
Yeah.
A lot of people like it when I'm nice, but everybody else can go fuck themselves.
Terry, how many cigarettes do you smoke daily? Can gnomes smoke more or less?
I smoke one cigarette. It takes me 9 hours.
9 hours for one cigarette?
I got a tiny mouth, in case you can't tell. Unless you want to, it'd be perfect for sucking your dick, you fucking tiny
monster.
Oh,
I see,
because
I have a small dick. That's nice, Terry.
It's Terry. No one fucks with me. I'm a Siberian gnome.
Oh, wow. Of course, Siberian gnomes are known to trounce around with trolls.
Yes, the Siberian gnome has been the most affected by crossbreeding.
Yeah, which just sounds like rape.
Yeah.
Gnome rape. Different types. So let's go through all the different types of gnomes.
Yes.
Well, first of all, the adult male gnome weighs about 1/2 pound.
Wow, a 1/2 pound.
Yeah, the adult
You know, honey, I am just feeling so fat. I'm telling you, I feel like a 3/4 of a pound today. 3/4 of a pound.
You look it, you fat bitch.
Well, Terry, again, I didn't invite that sort of comment.
Leave that door fucking swinging open for old Terry. He's going to stick his tiny big-ass boot in there.
Well, it's difficult to have a tiny big-ass
boot.
I got
a big foot for a tiny dude. Yeah, shove it right up your fucking meat piece.
Terry, you've changed.
Yeah, bring me a beer so I can drown in it.
The average height of the gnome is 6 inches.
I think there's a gnome in this beer. Somebody in Milwaukee, Wisconsin is the crack open a PBR. Oh, that's Terry,
no,
the drunken
bro, you're
gnome.
Hammered, man. You're hammered. It's like, no, dude. I think
there's
a fucking
gnome in my fucking beer, man.
This beer's fucking cheap.
It's like a mean fucking drunk troll.
Get something nice, you gnome. You got something to say to me? Like, you can fucking take me?
Someone, I was also reading about how gnomes are very durable, but how you could grab a gnome and throw him across a room and it bounces off a wall and it's totally fine.
Oh, yeah, I believe that.
All the sorts of fun things you could just fucking make up.
Yeah, so I read a story where a man found a cat choking on a gnome. He squeezed the cat's neck until it spat it out, and he thought the gnome was dead. So he kind of laid it out on his table.
It's kind of adorable.
Saying, honey, look at this. This is a dead female gnome. Right. Naked as a jaybird.
I died and I woke up in hell.
And he comes, wakes up the next morning. The gnome is missing.
Oh, wow.
Every time.
Turns out, she's just playing dead.
Playing dead. Typical gnome trickery.
It was a naked female gnome?
It was a naked female gnome.
That's
apparently
weird. That's a weird element to that story.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I looked and I flopped around his little gnome's boobies for a second, just, you know, because no one was looking.
Got a bizarre little gnome
First
boobies.
Of all, I know that I can write a little post about this in my blogosphere called Raping the Gnome.
Raping the Gnome.
But, of course, the gnome wife's husband came back, thanked him for saving his wife, and they had a good crop of barley that year.
Here's a blueberry.
That's very nice.
What am I going to do with a fucking blueberry, gnome? Give me some cash. Where's the money, gnome?
Well, there's another story about a gnome being saved, and the man asks, "What? I want 3 wishes." He gives him a big, big nugget of gold.
That's nice.
And then he takes it to town. He tries selling it, and they say, "You're just a simple woodland farmer. What are you doing with all this gold?" And he said, "No, but a gnome gave it to me." And they said, "Get to the back of the bus, mister. We're not buying your bill of sale here."
They didn't believe him,
They didn't believe him.
Oh, that's insane.
They threw him in jail.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, gnomes, it's like those genie things where it's like the gnome does things and you can't believe, you know, you got to beware what gifts you receive from a gnome.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A chunk of gnome also, the male wears a peaked red cap.
Yes.
Well, let's go back real quick. Let's hit up the types of gnomes. So we've discussed the Siberian gnome, the edgy Terry type gnome.
Yes, the Siberian gnome. He is centimeters larger, so he's the bigger gnome.
Okay.
He associates freely with trolls.
Wow.
And in certain regions, there's not a single gnome to be trusted. That would be in Siberia. The Siberian gnome takes revenge for even the slightest offense by killing cattle, causing bad harvests, droughts, abnormally cold weather, and so forth. The less said about him, the better.
The better. Don't even write about it in a fucking website about gnomes. Because God knows what this guy's going to come up with. He showed up here and be like, "Yeah, I raped your wife."
Well, that sounds like
Stop
a typical thing
Siberian
for you to do.
Gnome. That's not fucking cool. Why did you rape my wife? Because her fucking gash was open to me and I hopped up in there. Yeah, Terry. Terry's going to fucking slide it in and out so she has an orgasm.
I'm not sure if Terry's going to invoke an orgasm.
Yeah, though. I'll use my whole body. I fucking slam
the
that
whole
clit
thing
like it's a boxing bag.
That is disgusting.
This is horrible.
That's enough of Terry for a second. You know, just a moment. We got farm gnomes.
Yeah, we got farm gnomes. They resemble the house gnome, but it is...
Yeah, they're
like
Uncle Tom gnomes.
Yeah.
These are fucking gnomes have been put to work.
Now, they are of a more constant nature, and they are conservative in all manners. The house gnome is a special sort, however. He resembles an ordinary gnome, but he has the most knowledge of mankind. Gnome kings are chosen from this family of gnome.
Okay. What?
They're good-natured, always ready for a lark or a tease.
Hey, have you seen a single picture of a black or Asian gnome?
No.
Well, they are never malevolent, with a few exceptions. If a gnome is really wicked, which happens only once in 1,000, it is due to bad genes that result from crossbreeding in faraway places.
They have a really... There's a lot of anti-crossbreeding
they
do. In the gnome lore.
Do
we've
not
discovered
like it
there's
at all.
A lot of we also realize there's a lot of research in the back end of like where gnomes where gnomes are featured in various schools of study in yeah. which there is also a heavy race contingent
yes.
like played on top of it.
Yeah,
crossbreeding
we'll
in faraway
on.
Places like Harlem, Chicago.
These white youths. So we were talking quickly about Iceland, which really, in Iceland, the Huldufólk that exists there, they say there's up to 65% of people that live in Iceland, Ragnar, you can tell us if that's true or not, believe that they've at least seen a gnome, never mind been raped by one.
Well, I don't know how many believe that they've been raped by them.
I don't know.
68% have been raped by a gnome, but only 65% have seen them.
So 3% just can't believe they were raped by
yeah,
a gnome.
Yeah, they don't realize they just sat on a Twinkie.
Yeah, that happens.
And so,
it's a weird way to eat.
But what's really interesting, so it's very common there. Another thing we discover is with these, with a lot of gnome sighting, and what they say is like hidden people, like elves, tiny people.
Right.
As a lot of times, it coordinates with places of heavy UFO activity. And another a thing that correlates with that is that when they talk about Iceland, the thing about Iceland is that it's sitting on a bed of moving lava, right? And so Iceland, on a sort of geological standpoint, is still like being formed. And so there's something to the idea that because it's in constant transition and there's something going on underneath it, it has an effect on the mentality and, of course, like this, even the psychic state of people living around there.
I would say the volcanic gases probably cause a fair amount.
Yeah. And the other thing
also, magic mushrooms are fucking everywhere in Iceland.
You see a lot of gnomes on magic
mushrooms.
Yeah,
I'm sure if you spend all day just being like, grandma's making stroganoff tonight, and she's just like been eating fucking golden-rimmed fucking like brown berry mushrooms out there, and she's just like dancing on the ceiling, and then she's like, why are you supposed to make a stroganoff, grandma? And she's like, the colors. I'm a rainbow.
Oh, that's great.
That's beautiful.
I love grandma. I love going to grandma's house. There's also a thing called house gnomes.
Mm-hmm.
Which are exciting.
But it's like there's a crop circle. Like crop circles are also formed around natural aquifers, and like all these things where it's like when sort of heavy geological activity is happening, that's when you see a lot of sightings of these types of things.
So that's
I'm not
all.
Farting. It sounds like I'm farting constantly, but there's drilling going on.
Yeah,
upstairs.
Someone so is doing some construction.
So
there are not quite soundproof studios.
No.
Do these gnomes enjoy sort of aquifer-like situations? They like some swamplands and
okay,
things like
can
that?
Can I read the daily routine of the gnomes?
Please do, sir.
After sunset, the gnome house comes to life. Even without windows, they know when it begins to get dark. And besides, the field mice begins to toddle about them.
Time for me to wake up.
The lady of the house steps out of the alcove bed, puts on her slippers, and shuffles off to the stove, where she belongs.
Well, Henry put that in there himself.
Where he gets the fire underway by adding dry leaves to the embers.
Oh.
Next, she puts on a couple of pails of water on the heat, if her husband wants a bath, that is,
and
a kettle
one.
On for tea. She then goes to the bathroom to make herself presentable.
And he's sleeping this whole time.
Oh, he's you know, he's deeply asleep because he's got work to do.
Right.
When she leaves the bathroom, her husband waits a few minutes, then pokes his feet out of the alcove bev, sometimes with morning mumbles and grumbles. He then steps into his slippers and hangs his nightshirt and nightcap on a handsome wrought iron peg.
Well, that's nice.
Except if you're a poor gnome and then it's a nail fucking buried in a fucking board.
Yeah, that's sad.
He looks unimprovingly as his wife empties hot water into the tub, testing the temperature. He then steps to this bath.
I hope it's the right temperature.
In
you know?
Bathing, yeah. He takes a couple of handfuls of dried soapwort, Saponaria officinalis, from a tray hanging on the wall and splashes it around in the water to produce an abundance of suds.
He coughs a little bit because he's a raging alcoholic who smokes constantly.
While mother and father are thus occupied, the children set the table for breakfast. In the meantime, father dries himself.
Right. Which is quite a great image of a gnome dry. Yeah.
It would be
really quick. How big is a gnome towel?
You think 4 inches.
4 inches?
The gnome itself is only six inches.
Yeah, that's the thing. I feel like that's a pretty large
towel. I use a 9-foot towel.
Oh, okay.
Only because I burrito myself.
Right.
After breakfast, his wife prepares a snack for his night journey, a hollowed acorn filled with tea and a bag of biscuits.
Sweet.
The biscuits, taken from various grass seeds...
sweet marijuana
are a hearty meal in themselves. He lights his first pipe, waits until his wife has cleared away the breakfast things, and then they discuss the coming nightly activities or problems concerning the children. I think little Bobby Gnome is going to kill us in our sleep.
Most likely, honey.
I'm
most
afraid
likely.
He's going to take a tiny fucking gnome AK-47 to his school.
Oh, that would be adorable.
The first,
a little gnome gun.
Yeah, Nalumbine.
Yes, Gnome Columbine. Yeah, that was one of the saddest moments in gnome history, wasn't it?
Yeah, they blame Marilyn Gnomeson.
Yeah, Marilyn Gnomeson.
For his dark gnome music.
Yeah, of course. The beautiful gnome.
The beautiful people.
The beautiful gnomes. The beautiful gnomes.
As he enters the outside, he checks out the terrain for a few minutes. If it is not yet dark enough, the gnome waits beside a friendly rabbit until deeper darkness falls. His activities
Whoa, what
at
happened?
Night. His activities at night may be some of the following. He could go to the forge, pottery, or sawmill. Mm-hmm. He may go to his herb garden and either sow seeds, weed, hoe, prune, or harvest. Mm-hmm. He may take care of the firewood supply. Or pick berries. In short, everything that a Mexican does. Everything that can be done during short, sultry summer nights, long, cold winter nights, velvet, black, or moonlit nights, rainy nights, etc. And just before sunrise, if the gnome's activities do not cause him to seek shelter elsewhere, which means he can go fuck whatever he wants.
That's yeah. the thing, yeah.
I'm sorry, wife. There was a kitty cat that was waiting for me outside of the hollow log.
Yeah, and it throated me over and over again like, you won't do!
I'd love to watch a little gnome joke. Juggly Club, you know? That'd be kind of fun to watch.
I also would like, have you read the Marriage and Family thing as
oh,
well?
Oh, I've definitely read the Marriage
Do you
and
want
Family
to read that
thing.
One?
When he is about 100, the male gnome begins to think of marriage.
Hell yeah. No reason to tie yourself down early. Hell
no.
yeah.
A small number.
I'm just like a gnome.
A small number yeah. do, however, remain single. The youthful gnome then begins to search for his girl. In doing so, he sometimes has to travel great distances because gnomes are few and far between, and the number of eligible girls of his age, not related to him, are very limited.
With the young age of 100. Yeah, I know all about it, yeah.
This is kind of like Wisconsin. Plump women folk, round of form, are the favorite.
Honestly, oh, it plump sounds kind of hot. Yeah. It's like, that's the way, when I was watching Lord of the Rings and I saw the woman that he chose, that Rudy chose for his wife, I was just like, yeah.
That's the one you would take.
Yeah, I'd ring that bell.
All right.
Give me that tiny woman.
If he does find one, he attempts to win her with all sorts of small attentions.
What's a small attention?
Just grabbing her boobies.
Yeah, exactly.
I brought you a blueberry. Now suck my dick.
Whoa.
After an agreement is reached with the in-laws to be, he will marry her. Her house is given a rigorous inspection beforehand by his future father-in-law.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You want to have a clean house.
This is great.
You know what?
This is fun.
And not only that, I went deep, deep.
You really did. Yeah. We were talking about this last night about how, like, it's really interesting how there is a, you even said it, there's a rabbit hole to every subject.
Everything. Right. I went deep down the gnome rabbit hole, my friends. I went deep and I went dark. I found actual historical accounts of gnomes. This one is from Publius Octavius. You see, the gnomes in 1850, they were a classless society for more than 1,000 years. Except for their own chosen king, there were no rich, poor, inferior, or superior gnomes.
Oh, okay.
This is perhaps why they made use of the Great People's Migration to begin afresh. Now, the Great People's Migration...
Stalin's dream!
Yes.
That's what these people are. They're commies!
It was a period of intensified human migration in Europe from about 400 to 800 A.D., It all sounds plausible, as they also have gnomes' king's palaces and adjacent gold mines on maps. Apparently, slave labor was used in the mines, and sometimes there were slave revolts.
And that's what led to the class system?
That's what led to the class
Isn't
system.
Isn't that terrible?
I mean, when it comes down to it, that's just the natural order of things.
Yeah. Gnomes hurting gnomes. It ain't right.
Here's a description from 470 AD from Publius Octavius.
Today, I saw a miniature person with my own eyes. He wore a red cap and blue shirt. He had a white beard and green pants. He said that he had lived in this land for 20 years. He spoke our language, mixed with strange words. Since then, I have spoken with the little man many times. He said he was a descendant of a race called Kuwalden, a word unknown to us, and that there were only a few of them in the world. He liked to drink milk. Time and again, I saw him cure sick animals in the meadows.
I'm a gnome. All right. I'm a gnome.
You are a gnome. Do you cure animals, though?
No.
You don't help animals.
I can't do anything.
Oh, right.
But I have a lot of straight up just sort of...
You like milk.
I love milk.
You like to be pampered.
Love being pampered.
You like a nice acorn.
Yeah, I smoke that pipe every night.
And you like to smoke that pipe every night.
And I have my wife wash me.
Oh, she is a lucky lady.
God, wouldn't it be amazing to just get washed by someone?
Yeah, it's great. You've never been washed by someone?
Not really.
I mean, when you get dementia and go to the old folks' home, you'll be getting washed enough.
Oh, I will be the happiest person in the nursing home. Just being like, yeah. I think my balls are dirty.
Yeah.
Hey, what are you, Taiwanese? Come on over here and scrub my armpits.
Oh, that's just his time. That's just old people at a different time. He was a... born in 1980, so
Stevie Wonder.
He was in Vietnam, so it's fine. Yeah, he's allowed to say
I went to
things.
Vietnam. I got a spring roll. It's called my buddy's fingers.
Okay, so your buddy inserted his fingers into you.
Yeah,
in Vietnam.
I'm old.
That's fine.
I got a 2-foot-long belly button because I used to be fat. Now I'm old and thin and strong.
Oh yeah, you look great.
Yeah.
Stretch it out.
Wonderful.
Well, we mentioned animals and gnomes. Gnomes are quite nice to the animal kind.
They love animals, and they get along with all the animals of the forest, even the troublesome ones, such as the polecat.
Oh, my. That polecat. Always messing around, digging holes.
The cat, however, all forms of actual cats, because we know polecats, you know, it's a little slang term, possibly a racist term for skunks.
Oh,
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's like racist against skunks?
I think so.
Leave
them alone. Are you just
stink out of their ass?
Yeah, but you ought to be polite to them.
Yeah, why aren't they called like fuck rats?
Fuck rats would be great.
This is my shit badger, Milky.
Shit badger, yeah, Milky the shit badger. That's a nice thing to call it.
The only animal that remains an exception is the cat. Especially the wild domestic cat, who is not a member of the natural animal world and
what do you
is
mean?
Completely unreliable.
What do you mean not a member of the natural animal world?
It's an animal.
I didn't write the rule book.
That just seems to be a random allocation.
This guy just doesn't like cats. The guy blogging here is not a cat guy.
Well, I read again and again that gnomes come into a lot of altercations with cats.
Well, yeah, but cats are...
cats.
That's the same thing in the movie Cat's Eye.
Cat's Eye, eh?
Wait, you ever seen the movie Cat's Eye?
Gnomes aren't in the movie Cat's Eye.
Yes,
the Stephen King movie?
Yes.
Now, what's the gnome?
When because there's a story where it talks about how like the urban legend that cats steal babies' breath while they're sleeping.
That happens.
Instead, it is a tiny gnome that's stealing the baby's breath, and the cat actually saves the baby.
Oh,
so in that, the cat's the hero.
Yeah,
interesting.
Well, we all know which side of the fence Stephen King comes off.
So it's a Siberian type gnome, most
it's because
likely.
His wife was raped by a gnome.
Terry.
Again, this is the type of data we're not getting because our government is not properly focusing on what's important.
The government has nothing to do with Stephen King's wife being raped by a gnome.
Step in and do something about the rampant rape done by Hildefuck in our country.
If that's like a stat. I'm not sure if it really exists.
Go around and start asking people in the street if they've been raped by a gnome, and you'd be surprised the answers you'd get.
So you're saying that Stephen King is the novelist equivalent of the guy who wrote The Crow? And instead of having his wife raped and killed by thugs, it was raped and killed by a gnome?
Yes.
Sure, yeah, that'll work. I want to know if Terry the Gnome has stolen any breath out of some young girl as she sleeps.
Yeah, you bet I did. Only because she saw how big my nuts were. And I'm talking about my peanuts. I grow them in my farm.
Oh,
yeah.
There you go.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
so
I could do some fucking wordplay.
Yeah.
That's good, Terry.
Yeah. I got nipples like little silver dollars. That's what they gave me, a trophy for biggest nipples on a fucking gnome.
Well, I'm so happy that you won something.
Come over here, I'll punch the head of your penis so hard it'll bruise.
Well, I don't want it to bruise. I would prefer my penis to stay on bruise.
Stick my fist right up that hole in your penis, and I'll play with your pee-pee tube.
Well, I don't know, Terry. That sounds really quite horrified.
back.
Wow. That's perfect.
Jesus Christ, Terry.
Terry, sticking his head up your peepee, you imagine how that would go
down. I'm
going
to climb up your chest hair. I'm going to punch your kick in your tongue. You fucking giant. You're bigger than me. What are you, a tree?
It's just the little hits. Yeah. You know, those are adding up quickly.
I mean, he is also 6 feet. He is also 6 inches tall and half a pound. I mean,
right. I mean,
roughly the size and shape of the average American penis.
I just feel like if I saw a gnome, I would just go like, and like grab it and literally just twist its head off its body.
If you can, though, I think they're relatively flexible.
Well, when two stags become entangled during a fight, when their antlers become inextricably entwined, the gnome arrives and saws them apart.
Just saws it right off there. That's very,
and there's
very
also,
nice
it also
it.
Says here, according to their power, most gnomes are 7 times stronger than a man, can run at speeds of 35 miles per hour, have better sight than a hawk. These abilities help the gnome to do many things, such as find wounded, dying animals for which they feel they are responsible for.
And they
That's
are.
A lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of animals. That's your all your powers is that you your job is to go find animals that you injured and help them.
Yeah, it's a terrible job.
All the rest
of
your life is just harvesting blueberries and making acorn bowls. You don't need to be 7 times stronger than a man.
No.
To do that.
I mean, are they 7 times stronger than a man?
Most gnomes are 7 times stronger than a man.
Well, I read that also, but I think it's just saying that they can, you know, they can lift like 7 times their weight or something like that.
Yeah,
like if they
ants.
Were our size,
like ants.
Like ants. Yeah, if they're our size, then they would be extremely strong. But I mean, they're still 6 inches, you know. Yeah.
I don't know. Let's just see what happens if Terry the gnome comes and punches the head of your penis and see what happens to it.
I don't even want to know what will happen to it. It'll just fall right off. It'll be disgusting. Bruised and battered.
You got any blueberries up inside your fucking ball sack? I gotta go reach around for them. Yeah.
You know what? We shouldn't bring Terry to the Super Bowl parties anymore.
Today was just, this year.
I'm growing weed on my farm.
Yeah.
So in the
how would you explain that to your wife if a gnome just been punching your dick and then she's just like, "What's been going on?" And you're just like, "Terry the gnome. It's like the 6-inch guy.
You've been using meth. Oh, you're being Walter White."
I love that show.
Whoa. I'm just getting into it.
I watched my first episode of Breaking Bad last Sunday, which is the second to the last episode.
Oh, good.
Yep. So I'm going to watch this next one.
You got to catch up.
I'm going to catch it all up. I'm going to watch it in reverse.
It's a show. It's good.
Yeah. It's a television show. Yep. Yep.
So in my travels down the gnome rabbit hole, I came across this guy named Rudolf Steiner.
Yes.
Rudolf Steiner is a man who created a philosophy called
Anthroposophy.
Study of human being.
Yes, of human being, not human doing or human beings.
Human being. Just kind of sitting.
It postulates the existence of an objective, intellectually comprehensible spiritual world accessible to direct experience through inner development.
Did you hear the story about too? And so what they basically is, it's sort of a parochial school that they say is for accelerated students.
Yeah, he created these schools called Waldorf schools.
Yes.
And at the moment, and this is no bullshit, at the moment right now in America, there are 40 of these operating. And so more
also, if we have any listeners who went to a Waldorf school, please tell us about it because it seems really interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know, what they happen to do, what they don't say, they say that it's not a spiritual school and you're supposed to go and you're supposed to just kind of like learn math and shit in a sort of what seems to be Hogwarts type setting. And then you go and you basically find out that they're slipping a lot of Jesus stuff in there mixed with sort of mysticism, mixed with like.
Yeah, spiritual. It's a whole thing.
Fostering your psychic ability.
Yeah.
And you hear about how the whole Waldorf school that was taken over by a kid in a class who told them that he was starting to speak to spirits.
Mm-hmm.
A kid came out and basically said, like, "I'm starting to speak to spirits," and they were like, "Well, now you're the president of the school.
You win."
Wow. Yeah, so they made him president of the school, and they had to shut the whole school down.
That's amazing. Well, he wasn't a very good president, huh?
No. He was a child who was lying.
Oh, I see. Well, usually liars are good politicians presidents.
I found the website of a man who blew the lid off of this entire Waldorf school.
Yes, he did.
Here's what he says about him. The worldview underlying Waldorf schools is an occult religion that involves doctrines of evolution and reincarnation.
civilization. Human beings move upward as they gain knowledge of higher worlds. To gain this knowledge firsthand, people must develop clairvoyance. Preparation for clairvoyance involves such things as heightened imagination and dream consciousness. Waldorf schools aim to assist children on the path towards knowledge of higher worlds, and there are gnomes all over every Waldorf school.
Gnomes are normally, like, they are literally the mascot for Waldorf schools. They sell stuffed gnomes. They have gnomes painted all over the walls of their schools because it's a sort of it's like a gateway drug for mysticism, where it's like you get kids sort of accustomed to this idea that they are invisible people, and then they can start opening their mind to clairvoyance, which I actually think is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, like, I'm sort of down with that. I think it's important for us to, like, you know, there are people with psychic abilities. Psychic abilities is a thing. Maybe that's the type of thing that happens, but the problem is that you can't lie to everybody about what you're doing in the school.
Cleanest school, huh?
Yeah.
It must be the cleanest school around. You have a bunch of gnomes. Put some mops on their feet.
They basically say that, like, all the people who go to these schools are like, you know, it's a beautiful place, it's a really peaceful environment, yeah. And then, like, you know, an example.
Sexual abuse in the basement, though.
No, it doesn't even seem to be like that. It's just the rampant sort of what we've now find to be traditional racism that's put into occult teachings, where it's like, which one kid, it seems like Rudolf Reiner, but wasn't that Rudolf Reiner? Robert Reiner, something like that.
Rob Reiner?
It's Rob Reiner!
Is it Rob Reiner?
It's somebody
typical Waldorf school Hollywood
that I'm trying to send, but it's like basically he came out and did an expose, and basically it's like he became student body president and became really close, like one of the pet students of the dean of the school, and he came to him and he's like, I'll give you the secret lessons. And he went to the secret lessons.
Never good. Kids never take them.
Never
go for secret lessons.
Yeah, usually secret lessons involve secret play, secret touching.
Yeah.
Secrets.
Gnome secrets.
Yeah, no, you don't want them.
Basically, he said that, you know, the big secrets, kind of like Scientology, where it's like the background of all the schools, is that, you know, we were brought here by another entity. We've been here with an intelligent race brought us here a long time ago, a bunch of different strands of races. And some of the races are succeeding and evolving, and some of the races aren't.
So can you tell me why you have to tell me this with my pants down?
Because it's like a little microphone.
Oh, okay. Well, continue
to
talk.
Is this on?
Well, no. I don't think it is. yeah, it is on. I didn't know that about me.
Oh, that made my skin crawl.
Interesting.
But yeah. So some of the races that are not doing as well, you can imagine which races he's speaking about. You know, about how, like, Asians turn into black people who then will eventually spiritually turn into white people.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's the secrets of the Waldorf.
But what's interesting is that Asians are on the bottom of the list.
Huh.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
They got it all
wrong.
You
don't often see that.
Yeah.
I mean, during certain times in World War II, then absolutely you saw that.
I mean, they did horrible things.
Yeah.
Didn't they? Don't we remember that? The horrible things that they did.
Yes,
everyone was doing some bad things back then.
They did really bad stuff.
They did the worst stuff.
A bunch of people were doing some things.
They're on notice, Japan.
You're putting them on notice right now?
I still got an eye on Japan.
They're suffering a nuclear dilemma that's never been seen before.
I'm not going to call it karma.
You just kind of did.
Everything else I love about. I love the Japanese. I love them.
That's good. We're going to get another racist comment on iTunes.
No, I love them. I don't want another racist comment.
Yes.
We're going to get one eventually. Yeah. So
we got one. Yeah. We got one.
No, another one.
Crime Buff or something like that. Some lunatic.
So this guy, Rudolf Steiner, that invented these schools, he was a huge believer in gnomes. And I found so many quotes of him talking about gnomes. Here is some of the highlights. He says, the predecessors of our Earth gnomes, the moon gnomes.
Moon gnomes. I was reading about moon gnomes.
Gathered. This also sounds like a racial slur. I'm not going to lie to you. Are we going racist again here?
They gathered together their moon experiences.
Okay.
And from them,
moon birthday parties and moon trampoline parties.
I mean, do they wear little moon suits? How do they even run around on the moon?
They're gnomes.
Okay.
They got acorn hats on. I don't know.
I guess the limited oxygen.
Moon acorns? Yeah. Is that what's happening?
Moon corn.
Yeah. Moon corn.
Moon corn.
Yeah. I don't know what you farm up there. You call your penis the
moon corn.
The moon corn, yeah.
So from their moon...
explain away all the bumps and random liquids flying out of it.
So from their moon experiences, they fashioned this structure. Oh. This firm structure of the solid fabric of the Earth, so that our solid Earth structure actually arose from the experiences of the gnomes of the old moon.
So they made the Earth?
So there's a new moon.
There's a new moon. And
how many moons are we at?
I think this is phase two.
We're on two moons.
We're on two moons. He says, each year the moon is actually nearer to the Earth.
Oh, okay. And is that true?
That's not
absolutely
true.
Absolutely not true. True.
Okay. Interesting. All right.
Why don't you just say anything you want about a gnome?
You really can. Yeah.
One recognizes this from the ever more vigorous play of the moon forces in the gnome world during the time of the new moon.
And to
this coming nearer of the moon, the attentiveness of these goblins is quite specially directed, for it is in producing results from the way in which the moon affects them that they see their chief mission in the universe. They await with intense expectation the epoch when the moon will again unite with the Earth.
And then what's
that's scary to me.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
No, we don't want that. We don't want the moon to unite with the Earth. These gnomes. They're fucking nefarious.
Here's what this guy says a gnome actually is. He says what the gnome is made of. The gnomes bind together what works as the force of gravity and make their bodies from this volatile, invisible force, bodies which are, moreover, in constant danger of disintegrating.
So basically, this is sort of combining gnomes with string theory and, like, quantum physics.
But back in 1908.
Interesting.
Yeah, all of this is, he was doing all of these in 1908, from, like, 1908 to, like, 1920. He says, because of this, the gnomes must ever and again create themselves anew out of gravity because they continually stand in danger of losing their substance. Because of this, in order to retain their own existence, the gnomes are constantly attentive to what is going on around them. As far as Earth observation goes, no being is more attentive than a gnome.
I don't think you're saying that, ladies.
A gnome must always be wide awake. If it were to become sleepy, this sleepiness would immediately cause death.
Well, then you just wake up. 5 hour energy.
But what about sleeping in the alcove bed and then putting the slippers on?
They gotta sleep. They gotta sleep.
Yeah, we started off with all the gnome bullshit.
Oh, now we're under the truth.
Nanny-pamby assholes with my little garden gnome. Look at me.
I wanted it to be true.
This is the truth, Henry. Moon.
No. Well, they have to sleep. You can sleep on the moon. You gotta sleep. This guy, every time he spoke, a bunch of beer bubbles exploded from his mouth. This man was obviously a raging alcoholic from the 1908s.
Well, he was obviously raving at some lawn gnomes out on a fucking lawn somewhere.
Sure. Got a point staring at the him. Eyes, yeah.
And it is
lying on his stomach, staring at him face to face.
And this man says that gnomes actually hate the Earth. They hate all that is
What earthly. About all the helping of the
about?
Animals?
The gnomes love the Earth.
No, they actually hate the Earth.
But what are they doing then? They're helping us out.
It is from this feeling of hatred, of antipathy,
prosciutto and some olive oil.
Towards the earthly, that the gnomes gain the power of driving the plants up from the earth. This causes the plant to have only its roots in the earth. So gnomes are responsible for growth of plants.
I love plants. Everyone loves plants.
This guy is just going through a divorce.
Yeah, a 1908 divorce. That's a rough time.
He has thousands of followers. People follow this guy. He was extremely popular.
What was his name again?
Rudolf Steiner.
Oh, Rudolf Steiner.
Rudolf Steiner's also really, he's an Atlantis scholar. He, a lot of our knowledge of Atlantis.
And Lemuria, too, all of that. But he was also there, when you read his Wikipedia page, it's got a whole different slant altogether, too, than to what you read about him on the Waldorf School's website, which is really interesting about how, like, Wikipedia, it's like, he's a scientist. And the other ones, it's like, he talked to aliens in his dreams and stuff like that. Which,
it's possible.
Why not?
You never know.
He also says that gnomes are the reason why mankind has evolved a mind.
The gnomes gave us our brain?
I mean, he's given a lot of credit
to gnomes.
But the
gnomes are all over the place.
I'd like to see what the grays have to say about this. That's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see what the fucking reptilian has to say about a fucking gnome. I bet a reptilian eats gnomes like they're fucking popcorn.
Probably.
He's probably getting mad. There's a reptilian somewhere getting mad even listening to us talk like this about gnomes.
Kind of large popcorn, but yeah. It'd be kind of funny to go to a reptilian movie theater and just have a large gnome. And then you just go and you just eat a bunch of buckets of gnomes. Kicking around, trying to getting eaten. Yeah.
And
soft.
Some of his things that his lectures, these are all from lectures that he did. Lectures named as man as symphony of the creative world,
all right.
The influence of spiritual beings on man, foundations of esotericism.
It just sounds like prog rock albums.
Prog rock?
Man as symphony of the creative world.
So let's get into, so this is this Mr. Steiner's theories.
Yeah, and these are Mr. Steiner's theories.
And this was the most prevalent theories of the... of the early 20th century.
Well, the early 20th century and the late 19th century, there was a lot of little folk running around. That's when you had the fairy pictures being taken in Yorkshire and England.
Wasn't that just like spinal bifidus and just like random polio and just other children's diseases?
Well, it's the same too. You know, we have the urban legend that we'll read,
yeah,
too.
Exactly.
It's like, yeah, yeah, you never know what you could mistake for a gnome.
Yeah, really, if you squint your eyes just so, a lot
anything
of things
could be
a
gnome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, do we want to get into some of the actual stories that people tell of gnomes?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, well, we can, these are modern tales.
Do you want me to start with the smiling gnome?
Please, start with the smiling gnome.
This takes place in Houston, Texas, so this is your people, Marcus.
Well, Houston's not really my people, but...
We're going to give them to you, though.
The witness notices dog chasing something in the yard. Thinking it was a cat, he went out to investigate and yell at his dog. But when he got there and he saw a 1-foot-tall creature wearing red clothing, something resembling a clown suit without the big shoes and nose, he wore a pointy red hat and had a white beard. The witness called his dog over to him. He pulled him inside and closed the door, then looked out the window to see the figure eating birdseed in the yard.
Adorable.
As he looked out, the gnome-like figure looked straight at him. It seemed to become afraid and hit by the porch. The witness called out and the small figure peeked over the porch at him and smiled.
Nice.
Then it disappeared.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Where'd it go?
Christian Bale.
Here's what? I'm sorry, what?
Batman Begins. It's like
oh, yeah, sure.
Here's another one. The story's called...
Did he do that? Oh, man, I got to see a gnome Batman. I want to see gnomes do everything. You imagine he pulls out his little Gatling gun or whatever with the...
Grappling gun.
Oh, just... Oh. Yay. But it's like far too strong for him. He just gets catapulted to the moon. Yeah. It's like gravity. That's the new Sandra Bullock
shatters
movie.
Shatters his spine.
I need to see a gnome just in the middle of just in the middle of Earth.
I want to see a gnome space, after getting hit with a bucket and just going like, and it's me slowly putting my foot over his head and crushing his head.
I mean, that's another fun thing that you could watch a gnome do: die, get smushed by Henry Zebrowski.
This one is called Ghost Gnome.
Gnomes in space.
In the summer of 69.
Uh-oh.
My mom was sleeping in a room, which is off the kitchen. She stayed at my grandmother sometimes while my father served over in Vietnam.
Ah. It's getting sad, you know?
She had the window open that night and heard something outside. She sat up and continued to listen. She was about to get up and look when she saw a little man crawl through. It didn't scare her for some reason, which I thought was strange. It walked up to the foot of her bed, climbed up, and sat down with his legs hanging over the edge. My mom didn't do anything. She said she just stared at him. He looked like a gnome, according to her description. At least that's what I came up with. He sat there trying... There's a lot of speculation in this story. I'll say that much. He sat there trying to get comfortable, and when he was finally situated, he reached in a little bag he was carrying and pulled out a pipe.
Oh.
He lit it, took a couple puffs, turned and faced her. He said he had some bad news about my father, but not to worry. He was okay. He continued on that my father was in terrible trouble and that she will hear more about it in the morning. He tapped his pipe in his hand, jumped off the bed, and crawled out the window.
Thanks for the information / no information. What did you just tell me?
See, I gotta go smoke weed next to a fox.
All right.
That's when it finally...
So what's gonna happen to my husband?
I don't know, but these cherry tomatoes I've made are huge.
That's when it finally sank in my mom's head of what just happened, and she decided to call out for my grandmother. My grandmother came in, turned the light on, and asked her what was wrong. As my mom explained, my grandmother, not paying attention to my mother, noticed smoke lingering in the room and asked if she'd been smoking. My mom told her the story again. My grandmother didn't believe her. The next morning, my mother got a phone call from the army and said that my father was injured in an attack and would come home in about 10 days.
It's kind of good news.
My grandmother believed her then. I asked my mom why she thought it was a ghost. She said that was because she could see through him. I thought ghosts could float or whatever. Why did this ghost gnome have to crawl through an open window?
Oh, no, it's a ghost gnome. Very interesting.
Again, there's a weird sort of amorphous quality of all these creatures.
Right. I have a feeling this woman was smoking a bunch of weed in her bed, and her mother came in and was like, is that smoke? Have you been smoking? No, it was the gnome.
No,
it was the
gnome. It. No.
It's the 1969 weed. You'll think about gnomes and things like that.
This is called Russian gnomes.
Uh-oh. Ooh.
As the witness slept in her apartment, she suddenly awoke feeling a strange, oppressive atmosphere around her. She opened her eyes and saw a humanoid figure bending down over her. The figure was short, about 130 centimeters, which I can't understand because I'm not fucking European.
I mean, you know, about 6 inches, probably.
And looked intently at the witness. The figure had a grayish-green, pale facial complexion and had large, dark, pupil-less eyes.
Ooh, pupil-less.
I've also heard people say that they have pig's eyes.
I feel like there's a lot of overlap between this and abduction scenarios.
In which way?
Just the sort of what you see. Because there's two different types of grays as well. So anyway, don't get me started. It had what appeared to be a thin beard and appeared to be elderly. A second humanoid now appeared next to the first one. Hey, let's look at our tits. This one was somewhat shorter and appeared younger. Both resembled aged gnomes, quote-unquote. Okay. Both figures then floated back from the bed and vanished. At this point, what appeared to be a tennis ball-sized sphere of light appeared in their place. The sphere disappeared in the next room and then flew out an open window. Gnomes.
That was put
in UFO Zone magazine.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
So now that's a ghost gnome situation as well, or they're calling that a UFO gnome?
I'm pretty certain it's the same shit. It's all the same experience. Right. I don't know what the experience is, but if you want to believe that the idea that there's many realities and there's many dimensions and there's like different frequencies to each dimension, as the aliens have told us many fucking times, which we don't seem to listen to.
We're listening. Everyone's listening.
I'm just saying that sometimes they overlap and they can appear as gnomes sometimes, because that's also what we want them to appear as.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a cute little thing. Look at it and go like, hey, hey, hey. And it's not like a 9-foot-tall, like, you know, almond-eyed gray that's like sticking his fingers up your ass and asking you how hard you are.
But if someone does do that, just pretend they're a gnome. And
absolutely, give in.
If someone breaks into your apartment, you know, don't be scared.
Because
just
they'll stop raping you
just...
and they'll start making you waffles.
Or they'll
finish all your shoes that you haven't gotten done. You haven't fucking spent the time because they're irresponsible shoemaker.
I would say, though, they probably polish quite a good shoe, the gnome people.
Well, it takes a long time, but they get there.
So yeah, because
they cover
stories.
They get naked. They cover their whole bodies in polish and just roll around in your shoes. So that's a problem. So, yes, they get them shiny, but also... You see their tiny little hard gnome penises.
Yeah, we've mentioned gnome penises quite a bit.
I'd see one.
I'll draw you one.
I'd see one.
Figure it out. So there's a couple of stories. Do we want to do the urban legend that was quite famous?
This is a quite famous urban legend. I hadn't heard this one before.
Yeah. I had not heard this one.
I heard this in middle school.
So a couple of guys are out one night in Indiana on a drinking and drugging binge. They're driving their car on a deserted country road in the middle of the night when something runs in front of their path and onto the other side of the road.
Uh-oh.
Gnome.
Definitely a gnome.
Yeah. For whatever reason and whatever intoxicant they're all under, they all agree that it was a gnome.
See?
Keystone Light and shitty dirt weed.
And they pull over and attempt to apprehend said gnome in the interest of science.
We gotta fucking get the gnome hit with the hammer, Benji.
Oh.
Yeah, fuck yeah. I want to fucking pop outside.
I got to drive. I can't.
I want to blow smoke in his fucking face. Get that gnome high. Let's get that gnome high.
They managed to catch the gnome and put it in the trunk of their car.
Great.
They get home to one of their houses and put the gnome into the closet and then pass out. When they awake, they wonder if the evening's events were just a dream, a hard drug trip.
Hey, Brian, you think that we, like, totally did take that gnome? Or, like, nah,
man. No way, dude.
Well, they open the closet, and inside, they find a frightened 5-year-old boy with Down syndrome.
Shit, man, we got a gnome in the closet, man. We got a gnome in the closet, man.
Gnome, hit it with the umbrella.
Yo, put that in the bicycle. I'm gonna ride a bike with that thing. We'll go to the moon. It's like a little alien kid.
So they call local police to report the boy and end up being heroes because the boy had been missing from home for days. They ended up receiving a considerable cash reward.
Sometimes
for a safe
return. Takes the stoned and the drunk to save a child.
I agree with that. Amen. You
know, that was my dad's philosophy.
That's right. So yeah, if you want a quick payday, you know, just get out there and start hunting for a mentally handicapped 5-year-old.
Yeah,
because
if they're
know.
Out in the street at nighttime, they're worth cash.
Cash for kids. 1-800-CASH-FOR-KIDS. Slowpoke kids.
So it's now also to go to our favorite resource for true information, yes. Answers, Yahoo Answers. So let's see this question. Let's see if it got an answer. Can garden gnomes come to life? Spelled Graydon gnomes. Don't call me crazy. LOL. But I love gnomes and fairies and things. And I have 8 garden gnomes in my house and they guard my bedroom. LOL.
He's
and I love them and I gave them all names. Do they come to life when I'm not looking? Should I leave them a note? Give a detailed answer, please. Thanks.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, but as far as our scientific understanding of the world goes, as a human collective intelligence, inanimate objects don't come to life in their current form.
Oh, man, this is a real bummer answer. I don't like this guy.
His name's Brian. What a fucking dickhead.
Of course, eventually the molecules in your garden gnomes will deteriorate into other matter and might end up living inside a living entity and thus technically be alive.
Man, you're crushing me. That's not at all what I wanted to happen. God.
This might even happen in your lifetime.
I hope your response isn't too much longer because your SpaghettiOs may burn.
I do realize this is a sour pill to swallow.
Thank you.
Do not completely despair. Steve Grand is trying to create artificial intelligence that some scientists would consider actual life, depending on a bit of your definition. You could theoretically hook this software up to real life garden gnomes with artificial muscles and such that
Fuck
might
you.
Enable
you
them
can't.
To learn and communicate like real living creatures. This might be considered
alive
to some.
Brian.
Fuck you, Brian. You're
go
a jerk
back
off.
To Pizza Hut. You got to get to work.
You got a moron with no job. You know, these people. Rude. Just let her have her imagination.
Yeah, let her have the imagination.
What's, is it a her? Yeah, her name's Fruity Tootie. Well, that's
her name's Fruity Tootie?
That's not necessarily a her, though, at the same time.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Might be a 60-year-old man. Well, reliving the 1950s the way he wants to.
Well, the best answer actually is pretty good. He said put a piece of tape on the base of the gnomes to the floor so if they try to leave, the tape will be pulled off or torn so you'll know if they move.
That's a good point.
Good luck.
Good
luck.
All right. Well, I think we've covered the gnomes. I think we have a good idea. A better idea of what gnomes are.
I actually
than
did
before
learn
we started.
A lot, though.
I did
yeah,
as well. I didn't
a
realize
lot too, yeah.
There was so much.
But
to
watch
the gnome
it.
Community.
I put up that documentary on the Facebook page, the one that elves, trolls, and hidden people in Iceland, and it's very interesting. It's a very there's a whole lifestyle attached to yes. belief in gnomes, and it's kind of cool. And, I mean, like, yeah, that's really, yeah, I mean, it's so whatever.
And don't watch the, I believe it's Blue Cadillac, the movie about Melville.
Blue Sedan. Or
yeah,
Blue Sedan.
Of course.
We watched it. Henry, you weren't there. Thank God. Don't watch it. It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Really?
They montage the shootings at the end.
Oh, that's
And
what
they
I
don't
heard.
Touch on the religion, and they just, it's just nothing.
That's fucking, yeah. What a pain in the ass. So now begins our fucking ramp up to Halloween, our Dark yes. Lord and Savior's favorite holiday. All of October, we're going to be bringing you creepypasta and scary stories, and what we need from you is that if you have scary stories, if you have ghost stories, please submit them. We want to do a whole episode on listener stories, so we're going to pick like 5 or 6 of them, pitch them yeah. to us in the email, which is
CapeComedyRadio@gmail.com.
Yeah, and then we're going to read through them. We want to
it will be a Skype situation,
out.
Right?
Yeah, we're going to Skype you guys in, and right. you'll tell us your stories. We'll ask you questions, and this one's for you, the listener.
Yeah, so it's for our Holla Scream Spooktacular.
Holla Scream Spooktacular.
We're going to summon a devil.
Yeah, we're just going to do that on our own, though.
No, but
we are
October,
summon
I
the devil.
Can't wait. Satan, thank you!
All right.
Satan!
Hail Satan, everybody.
Hail Gene.
Hail me!
And hail yourselves. We'll talk to you soon.
Don't let a gnome finger you in your sleep.
Yeah, stay away from Terry the Gnome if you
yeah,
can.
Yeah, fucking suck your vagina lips.
No one wants you.
It's like a little hat for me. Yeah. Look
her
at me. I'm the Virgin Mary.
That is one of the most disgusting visuals. A vagina lips as a hat for Terry the Gnome.